Joining me once again is 19th District Senator Jeff Wilson as the legislative session continues to roll on. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Kyle. We're approaching that halfway mark, but I'm going to be in a good mood anyway.
You know, it is now really the nitty-gritty. I think we've said that just about every week, that it's just getting into this next part or this next exciting time. But really, that's the legislative session. You got 105 days to handle so much big business and big changes within the state that it seems that through the entire process, there's always this next kind of big thing that could come along. And it's getting into the really intense portion of the session.
Absolutely. You know, the days do get, you know, we have shorter amount of days left, but they certainly get longer. We do have a lot of bills to work through. I always anxiously await bills that matter. There's a lot of bills that we process. They do take a lot of time, and that's maybe some regular business or maybe something that's an idea that I don't support. However, we do need to get eventually to the big business, which is police pursuit, the crime issues, the drug issues, the Blake decision. We haven't heard these yet. And believe me, there are some bills out there that are of concern that I don't know what we're waiting for. We do need to address these sooner than later.
Those are things that they keep kind of teasing. I suppose that dominating it with regular meetings just on these would just make it so all these other bills just kind of fall to the wayside, because once it gets into the conversations on those, I am anticipating it is going to be a lot of back and forth. And once that kind of Pandora's box is opened, that's going to be the focus until the budget portions come in.
Absolutely. You know, and that's our job. I sometimes don't understand the strategy if we're putting something off to be heard later, because later means potentially we have less time. I'm all for discussing the important issues such as the Blake decision, as I mentioned. But, you know, Kyle, we didn't even hear. Not one bill was allowed to be heard this year, discussed, when it came to emergency governor power reform. Not one. And that's unfortunate. So there's no bill coming to the floor this year that would address. And I bring this up because, Kyle, today is the anniversary of really this would have been the third year of emergency powers that we have survived through, but not without some impact or potential injuries to our communities. And, you know, I'm here to tell you that I'm not wanting to go back and beat up the past. What emergency power reform does is it discusses the future next time, the next governor. How ironic, though, it was forbidden. Neither the House nor the Senate heard any emergency power reform for a governor.
And that is interesting. I feel as if this is a very divisive issue. I think that that's fair to say that there are that is going to be kind of a party line issue on a lot of that, just based on some of the conversations. But not even allowing the discussion to happen, whether or not it does get voted down or something, that the opportunity to at least have it heard seems that should be the case.
Absolutely, Kyle. I couldn't agree with you more. It's okay to have a hot topic and something that's divisive. But when you put everybody on mute and you refuse to even discuss the divisiveness of the issue, and obviously we call it a divided issue, which means it's important to somebody and the other people it may not to be, but it's important enough to have the process terminate the discussion. And we're open for business this year, Kyle. You can come on up and see us. And I know that you make trips to Olympia. We're actively on the floor, and this is what our job is to do. And yet I'm taken back as to why we just couldn't seem to find the time to have a 15 to a 20 minute or maybe a 45 minute discussion on Senate Bill 5063.
And that is surprising, especially knowing it's not as if anybody is not unfamiliar with the concerns of this. And this has been something that has been at the top of a lot of people's minds for the last few years. It seems like just give it at least some depth. Maybe I'm doubtful that it will get any sort of action, but you know, maybe it will come up. But speaking of bills that are getting some play, though, I wanted to commend you. This year, you have had, what is it, four bills now that are moving forward and with unanimous support.
Yeah, Kyle, I actually have to be grateful that I am fortunate. I've passed two bills last week, two bills this week, and every one of those bills has been has had no votes. It's been unanimous for those voting. And Kyle, I guess what I'd like to offer up is I was sent here with a purpose. I was sent here to represent everybody, everybody's beliefs, and that actually does involve working on both sides of the aisle. And I'll say even more. There are lobbyists that you work with. There are interest groups. There are your constituents. Everyday people, we reply to emails to, we take phone calls. When I come home on weekends, I meet with constituents when I leave Olympia as my home base. And I think that kind of formula to continue to listen to people and then to turn it into legislation and then work that legislation. Dropping a bill is easy, Kyle. You put it in this little box and you walk away from it. But that's the easy part. The hard part is to truly work that bill and discuss it as it's changeable. And I'm proud to say that so far the 19th District is off to a very good start on the Senate side this year.
Looking at some of the bills that are getting some play for you, non-divisive issues, obviously, with 100% support. I mean, we talked about it before, the state nickname, roadside safety measures. And we had talked about it earlier this week, as well as there's some additional penalties for electric vehicle charging equipment, which these are all things that are necessary. I mean, things that came up that there needs to be some oversight and some sort of documentation of these changes. But the one that I think had the latest action was a study on the recycling of wind turbine blades. This has been, again, turbines are a divisive issue on both the coastal side and the eastern Washington side. But nonetheless, they are here, and making sure that if they are here, that we're able to kind of work with them and work around them for the betterment of the entire state.
You know, Kyle, I agree. Even wind turbine blades, those blades that spin around the electrical generators, we see them in the wind towers, they are controversial. And they actually can be a divisive subject. For example, you know, we'll proclaim that these wind energy systems are green. Well, Kyle, in fact, they're not necessarily green, because when you take off a 170-foot, you know, wind blade, after 20 years of service or damage or something fails, what do you do with this? And what's been happening is they a lot of times end up just in landfills. I challenge the idea that that's truly being green. So those that sell it as green energy, this bill is going to force that conversation to say, please don't tell us it's totally green when I see these giant blades ending up in our landfill. So the bill is important because it says, listen, this time next year, we're going to talk about options that we're going to have, not only to recycle these, to repurpose these, or to maybe even make them here. The bill, which I wanted people to know, also requires that we look at ways for recycling opportunities to occur, like with businesses, in Washington State. Because if it's green energy, then it should bring some form of a job. And the study is going to look at, you know, the potential where we can cite industries that will do that to those wind blades. They'll either make them here, or they'll recycle them here, or handle them here. Instead of just our ports, of course, importing these, If we say it's going to be a fixture in our landscape, let's be more responsible for them.
Yeah, the conversation that they are, that anything is green and nothing is going to, there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. It's like, well, there's always downsides to everything, whether it be that the construction that is needed to make the facility, the oil that's used to run it, that green is green is green is, that is just a fallacy across the way. So finding a way to ensure that if this is something that is coming in, whether it be by one party or the other, that making sure that there is that oversight and these things aren't going unchecked.
Absolutely, Kyle. And that was the lead-in for my other bill that I passed this week, which deals with electric vehicles. You know, those electric cars you see, not many of them, but they need to go to that charging station. And all of those charging stations have that very long cord that you got to plug in. And, well, this green type operation also now is igniting some bad activity. People can steal those cords, and some have been stolen. And they're stolen for their precious metal content, copper, aluminum. So my bill is to simply say, look, you've got to be licensed metal recycler or scrap dealer in order to receive these chopped off charging cords. Because again, a green economy potentially has spurned a green theft or crime economy. And we have to be aware of that. So I'm being very proactive in saying, no, you can't do that.
The criminals have become, as they do, once we close one hole, they find another.
Well, at least an electric plug-in cord can sometimes fight back. If you try to steal one that's connected to a car and in charging, you could get the shock of your life with 350 kilowatts or so. So that hopefully is a deterrent. But yet we've seen catalytic converters, even companies that have put cages around their converters. They've gone that extra step. They've also proven the thieves have outsmarted them. And not only have they removed the cage, they also get the converter they're after. It just takes a little bit longer. And I have a catalytic converter bill that I'm very proud of. It's Senate Bill 5740. That's going to change the way the catalytic converter people get away with it, especially the online and the interstate. The big dealers, I have a bill for them that they're not going to like. And the reason it hasn't been heard yet, Kyle, is because it's necessary to implement the budget. It does cost, well, it costs $1 million. We do need to fund specific officers, the Washington State Police, who already check with scrap dealers and auto wreckers for metal, commercial metals, things that are stolen. And this will really shore it up to hire more of these patrol officers to go after these. And I'm looking forward to this bill. I'm going to get it heard here. The chairs agreed to hear it, and the budget people have given me a thumbs up. So it'll be one of those really late bills, Kyle, that you don't hear before policy cutoff. And I'm grateful it's very much alive.
One of those bills, just like others that have been introduced, that it's not become an issue. We're talking about emergency powers or something. Not something that has been a concern until it becomes a concern. Somebody does something that makes these laws or these changes kind of come into play. If people are stealing the electric vehicle chargers, then something needs to be done to prevent them from doing that, so on with catalytic converters, so on with whatever is the next crime du jour. But once things comes up, that's when the laws start to come in, and it'll be interesting to see. We'll keep watching your bills, of course, during the legislative session. I know that you've got a busy day today, as it is just going to be at a fevered pace through the end of this 105-day session. So we really thank you for taking the time to join us and talk about some of these bills.
Kyle, I appreciate the time I get to visit with you and your listeners, and I'll see you in the future.